stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 187 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show. A lot of Australian results happened over the weekend. We're going to try and go live to the Netherlands to talk to a couple of people that ran big 5K PBs. Moose hopefully has a better weekly recap than last week. Croker's 5 weeks out from pacing one of the biggest races of his life. And we'll have all the other segments that we always have. Welcome to this week's show. He's in Canberra. Bradley Croker, welcome.
Thanks, Brady. How you going?
I'm going good. Cold down here, Brad. Starting to get cold. Days are starting to get dark.
We had minus six.
Ooh, it's fresh. Not even winter yet either, is it? Eh? Still a couple of days to go.
That's right. But it was a public holiday here, so meant we could sort of sleep in and run when it warmed up.
A lot of public holidays happen up your way, I'm getting.
We get a lot. We do get a lot.
And I don't have to tell you what, Canberra's been in the news a lot. Big controversies over those guys up there not doing much work. Anyway, might get onto that a bit later on. Julian Spence joining us from Noosa up there. It wouldn't be cold up there, but good temperatures. Welcome to this week's episode, Julian.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it's been cold. Like, I just had to put a jumper on because I have to sit outside because my internet's so shit. But it's been chilly for Noosa. It's been below 10 degrees some mornings.
Nah, your internet is terrible. You can fix that, and we'll hear from you when that's fixed, because that's really, really bad. Bradley, we'll pretend he doesn't exist for a while until he can get it sorted. Do you want to tell me about your training week? Another impressive one in the legs.
It was all right. So Monday, I had the day off work, so I went to the gym mid-morning, and then that afternoon just went out for my 45-minute lap of Mulligan, so like 10.7K, 4:14s. I actually wore the New Balance RC Elite, the first version for this. Just felt like my legs were a little bit banged up.
And you wore it for an easy run.
Yeah, I did. Like, I just thought I'd mix it up a little bit and just see whether, like, it would just cushion my legs a little bit more. And, you know, I've got so many of those bloody super shoes. Like, those ones have done, like, 300K, and they're still feeling pretty good. So... and I actually wore them again tonight. So quite a good, because they're not, they're not as super, like they're not as high stacked as some of the others. So they're just a nice lightweight training shoe, I reckon.
Isn't there an injury risk at that though? Wearing kind of like racing shoes on easy runs just because of the lack of support?
But I do keep an eye. Like I'm
asking this a question because I don't know. That could be a myth. But remember everyone always used to say like only wear your kind of lighter shoes for races or workouts?
Yeah, so like the risk for me would be running in those shoes on a trail, which is a bit uneven. And so, I might end up with some like perineal stuff.
Yeah.
But I just make sure I keep an eye on that. And I haven't had any perineal issues for quite a while. So, look at me, I sound like one of those guys on Shoe Geeks. Yeah. Watch that today, actually.
Yeah, did you like it? Jack Rayner's pretty good, wasn't he?
Was good. Those guys really love their shoes. It's quite infectious, actually.
Yeah. I like that one as well. Yeah. Okay.
So then, yes, that was Monday. Tuesday was our track session. We had like 40 people out at the track on Tuesday night. It was so good.
I saw the videos.
And so the session was 400s. So some people did 10, some people did 12. I did 12 400s off 1 minute recovery. And there was a group of six of us up the front. And so it was awesome. Like I led the first rep and then didn't have to lead a rep until rep seven. I ended up only having to lead, I think I did three and a half reps out of the 12 leading. which was just such a fun way to train. The session goes by so quickly because before you know it, you know, you've pretty much knocked off half the reps. So it would have averaged 67 seconds for them. The majority were between that sort of 66 to 68. Last two were 65 and 63. So it's not too bad for me. Like 400 sessions are definitely one area of my running that's not as good as it used to be, which is obviously an age thing. Like back in the day, I used to run like 10 400s on a 2-minute cycle at like 63, 64. I think my best average was like sub 62, which now if I run at 62, like I'm pretty much cooked for the session. But when I was doing that, I probably wouldn't have run much faster over 5K than what I'm doing now. So it's funny, just the life cycle of a runner. You know, you're young, you have good speed, but you don't have the strength. And then as you get older, you lose a bit of your speed, but you end up with a little bit more strength. So, but I was happy with that, 67 average. Then
maybe you were just doing it. Maybe you're just doing your 400s too fast back then, mate.
Maybe, but I couldn't do that now. I just couldn't do it. Like, I physically couldn't run 10 in 62s.
What do you reckon your fastest four would be? Do you reckon you could run 58?
I reckon maybe as an all out, if it was a race situation, probably, but just like, yeah, maybe. Cause yeah. I ran 63 for the last rep of the session, which you'd have to think if it was an all out, probably not out of blocks though.
rolling start.
Yeah. Anyway, so Wednesday then was, I did an hour 25 after work and managed to get this run done just before it got dark. So did the whole lot in Mulligans, a little bit flatter than normal, just on my flat loop. So that was 4:11s. Felt surprisingly good after a day of work. Actually, first 20 minutes was a little bit sluggish, and then felt amazing. I finished and I'm like, whew, I felt like I could have run sort of all day. So yeah, 20.5K, 4:11s. Thursday, just my short loop of Mulligans, 47 minutes at 4:23s. Thursdays are probably my least favorite run at the moment, even though it's one of the easiest days. I'm just pretty tired at the end of the day after looking after the kids. So and just bending over and my back gets tight, but got it done. Friday, our Friday morning pro hour group had to get pushed back to the afternoon because I got called up to go to the, I guess, zone cross country with the school, which was I couldn't turn down a day's work when all I had to do was go and stand 100 meters from the finish line and watch cross country. So we ended up going out to Mulligans. There was three of us and did a 9K progression run, which it's sort of an interesting place to do a progression because the pace got quicker, but perceived effort was all a bit over the place just based on, you know, whether you're running up a hill or down a hill. So we did it in 6-minute increments. So we did 5 6-minute increments to make it 30 minutes. And then I just finished off to make it 9K. So I did like 6 minutes at 3:35s, 6 at 3:31, 6 at 3:25, 6 at 3:18, 6 at 3:11s, and then 30 seconds at 3 minutes just to make it up to 9K. So felt really, really strong actually in that session, which, yeah, I quite enjoy those progression runs, sort of work into it. That was Friday. Saturday morning, it was felt like -3 at 9 o'clock when I was running. But it was just, yeah, had a really, one of those really enjoyable runs in the cold weather. About what I do, 61 minutes, 4:13s. Went to the gym that afternoon and I jumped on the treadmill for 35 minutes or so, did 8K, which I didn't really, I normally enjoy the treadmill, but I didn't actually enjoy the treadmill that much that afternoon, and then did gym straight after that for an hour. And then Sunday, I didn't get out till about midday. Viv's doing a bit more running now, so she got out in the morning and yeah, I just figured my body's a little bit better the later I go. 2 hours exactly, just 28.6K at 4:12. So, I'm still just not really...
Slow Sunday?
Yeah, like I definitely because I'm doing a quicker one this coming weekend to help Trav out. He's doing like 10K at marathon pace at the end of his long run. So I'll do part of that with him this coming Sunday. And I just wanted one a little bit slower. It doesn't, like, if I run 404s or 412s, it doesn't really feel much different. For some reason, I'm really not enjoying long runs. My back and hips just start to sort of just tighten up a little bit the longer I go. Like, I find at the moment that 85, 90 minutes is probably like my sweet spot. But yeah, it's all right. Got it done. 129K for the week.
Jeez, I hope Gold Coast aren't listening.
One, two. Oh, I'll be
430s, mate.
I'll be fine for, I don't reckon make any difference.
You'll be right for the pacing job.
Yeah, I'll be fine for the pacing job. Yeah, it's more. I'm enjoying the sessions. It's more. I'm probably just getting like just want the long runs to be over. Like, just, you know, you just go through ups and downs when you're on your own. It's like, ugh.
You'd have some DOMs just from the day before at the gym too, and didn't you do strides last Saturday, like before your long run?
Yeah, I didn't do strides like this week. I wasn't that, like, I don't lift heavy weights in gym, so I didn't have any DOMs.
No DOMs. But, I gave an excuse. Should have taken it.
No, nah, that's all good.
How many Ks was it, sorry?
129.
Good week. Moose, tell us about your week. Very quiet on Strava. Maybe...
I can't remember what I actually put up public or not. So I'll just run through what I actually did. On Monday, I ran 12K with Ali, and Jose was there as well for a little bit. We were on some dirt roads. Tuesday... ran 10K as well, out same spot, for the Adidas Boston 10, which is kind of a new school Adidas Boston. Drops tomorrow. We're going to have it in store, so that'll be fun. On Wednesday, I jumped in actually to a workout. So I warmed up. We went down to the Sunshine Coast. Obviously, this was Ali's workout. Sunshine Coast University has a track there. It's a pretty nice track as well, good facilities. I warmed up with Ali, and I was just going to jump in every now and then for her work, which you'll get a full rundown on the workout when she records the podcast tomorrow on Road to Nowhere. But it was 14 by 1K, and the alternations were 3:10, 3:15. So I was just going to jump in and do some 400s and 200s with her, and that's what I did. So I'd run a 400 and then step out while she runs a 400 and then finish the 200, or maybe I'd run a 200 at the start of the K and then step out and run the final 400 with her, just to help her out, because it's a lot of volume for the track. And at the same time, Bree was running some 200s with her as well, so that was pretty fun to watch. Bree's got a belly now too. She's running along, punching these 200s out with the crop top and the belly. Pretty impressive, really. And then I ended up, as the workout got harder, I started to help out a little more. So in the end, I was running her hard 1Ks with her, like the full rep. In the end, run 11.3K on the track, which was first session for a while.
Jeez, I'm looking at this Chili's workout from Ali. This is, yeah... It's a good workout. I hear more about that on Road to Nowhere. What about our last K? 303.
303, yeah. Before the last K, I said, oh, don't get greedy. She goes, I could tell. She did this. This isn't impressive. Well, it is impressive on paper. It's impressive she got it done. But the most impressive thing was how easy she made this thing look. She made this look like it was 6 by a K at 330s. And so at the end, I could tell she wanted to go a bit. So we didn't get carried away. We kept it under control, and she got to sort of release a little bit of built-up control that she'd sort of exhibited through the workout. But the Achilles pretty cooked after that one. Funny thing was, I would run 200 meters, and it would feel kind of sore, and then it would go away, the pain, and I'd be able to run the rest of the K. And then I would stop, and it would be like, oh, shit, there it is again. But I kind of just submitted to being Ali's helper, this block. And if I can jump in and run workouts with her, that's totally fine. Like,
the Achilles doesn't really get worse. Initially, it gets really sore afterwards, but a couple of days later, it's back to where it was. So it certainly doesn't not regressing during it. And anyone who's run with someone pacing them will know that it's a massive help. And someone on the bike next to them, that's a help as well, but it's not as helpful as having someone running next to you. So that it's sort of feels good to be able to help someone like that, share the pain a little. Except I did 200s and 400s and she did 14Ks. Friday jogged 6K, so it was basically a recce of the loop for the workout that was going to be on Saturday for Ellie. So I jumped in. It was a 16K progression run, 4K laps around Noosa Waters, which is a pretty high-end little estate in here with huge houses. And the plan was to go progress every 4K lap a bit faster, starting at 335s, finishing at 320s. First, what was challenging about this workout was the first 4K, we started our watches together. We both have Coros watches, but the entire lap, I was 5 seconds slower than what Ali had on her watch. So I was trying to pace her at 335s, and my watch was saying 335, and hers was saying 330. And she's telling me to slow down, and I'm going, oh, no, I'm on pace. So once we went through one lap, I knew how far the lap was, and my watch was just way off. It was just way too slow for what the actual... it was way too short for what the distance was. So it was quite slow, and hers was bang on. So we went off hers, and it remained out. So first lap was 3:30. I think I can't remember exactly what it was, but because we both had different times. Then we got quicker, and then Bree was on the bike, and then Bree had a real dizzy spell at the end of the second lap. So I stopped with her as Ali picked it up for the third lap. And then Bree sort of was feeling a little better. She just had a real, like, almost went blacked out. So she came good, and I was about to jump in for the third lap, but the Achilles just would not let me get going again. So I only did 8K, whereas Ali kicked it down. Again, you'll hear about it on Road to Nowhere, the full details, but the last 4K were pretty impressive. I was on the bike for that. So yeah, that was my running week. Had a swimming race on Sunday. She didn't know it was a race, but Charlotte, she's from Ballarat. She's actually, I keep going swimming with these fucking guns, and they just smash me. So yeah, she towed me up in this race. But I feel like I'm getting a bit better. Brad, you'll be loving to hear that.
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
Tell me about the Achilles. Yeah, that's swimming. What I hear about. What is that getting better?
Yeah, I ran today. So I ran 6K today, and I didn't have any pain. And that's the first time I haven't had pain since when it very first came on, however many fucking hell weeks and weeks ago. So I think I felt it on April 26th, the first time. And so May 31, first time I went for a run, I didn't have pain. So that's a big plus.
That's good. That's a plus. Hopefully next week, maybe, some more jogging. You won't chuck a workout in next, will you?
Workout, and it's beyond what I could do right now. So I'll be on the bike this week.
Very good. I'll go through my week. I kicked it off on Monday with... Let me open my diary. 70 minutes at 4:41 pace in the morning, and then 30 minutes in the afternoon at 4:47 pace. Got noted here that I was pretty tired. My hamstrings were pretty sore. This was like 48 hours after that that cross-country race I was talking about last week, so I just took it super easy. Both jogs super slow. On Tuesday, we had a workout. It was 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, with 1 minute jog between. Times five. So a pretty long workout, pretty long fartlek, 44 minutes in total. We're working on 3:05 pace for the 3 minutes, 3 minute pace for the 2 minutes, and 2:50 pace for the 1 minute. Bit windy, kind of a crosswind. We kind of went down a road to do two sets and then did a U-turn and come back up the road. Got it done, nothing special, hit the times we needed to. Probably still a bit of fatigue from the Saturday in the legs, but yeah, all up, it was a good one. Kind of 30 minutes of kind of quality work at probably 3:02 pace average, and all up it was 13k at 3:24 average. Then an easy 8k in the afternoon at 4:35s. Wednesday, 90 minutes at 4:24s. Just listening like A Road to Nowhere every Wednesday after they record that on Tuesday. Jen Gregson was their guest this week, so it was kind of cool to hear about her race plans and hear about her Doha kind of expectations before getting to actually see what happened. So that was cool to listen to. And then 7K in the afternoon. Oh, I got some treatment, actually, during the day. So I just kind of book in with my masseuse every 2 weeks now just to make sure, because I'm doing a few more miles than I have been over the last kind of 3 or 4 months, and just making sure, even if I'm not tired or sore, just to make sure that appointment sticks and get in there and just, yeah, get a bit of work done. And then there was, yeah, that 7K in the afternoon. So that was a big day. Like, it's a 27K day. Thursday, 6K in the morning. You got into me on this one, Croaks. Reckon it was a waste of time doing 6K at 4:24 pace in the morning. Hardly worth putting the gear on for. I think that was your comment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have got out at that time for a 26-minute run.
Let me explain it, though, because I'm like you. My Thursday, I've got half of what you've got. I've got one child for the day, and I only had like a little 30-minute window to fit this run in because I was on Skype with one of my athletes overseas before that. So that was kind of, I had this 30-minute window, and my day would be, I'd just feel sluggish the whole day if I didn't get out for that run. Like, you know, it just changes massively. If I can fit a quick 6K in, or if I can't fit it in, I would just be, I wouldn't be moping, but I just wouldn't feel awake and like alive and stuff. So yeah, 6K at 4:24s.
I'm just jealous, Bray, that you can actually run at 7 o'clock. If I wanted to run at 7 o'clock, I'd have to be out of bed at 5 o'clock because it'd take 2 hours for my Achilles to warm up.
Yeah, well, I would have been. I'm a bit. Well, I don't need that long, but I had been up for a good probably hour before this one. So yeah, quickly got out for a quick half an hour before Carly went off to work, and then when she got home from work, this is a bit later. So this was the day that Victoria announced they were going into lockdown again. And Carly usually takes like 8 minutes to drive home from work. And people know that I've spoken about it before. We live on the border of Victoria and New South Wales, on the New South Wales side. And it does my head in because obviously Victoria is going into lockdown because they've got COVID cases again there. But it took Carly, I think, 47 minutes to drive home on a trip that usually takes her 7-8 minutes, just because so many people were trying to leave Victoria and get, because they left the border open this time. So it was just bumper to bumper traffic with people trying to leave the state to get into New South Wales. So I was a bit later getting out for my run. Felt pretty tired, same as what you were talking about after a day with a little fella, 60 minutes at 4:35s, and just getting dark earlier now, isn't it? Like, you've really got to kind of be home by 5:45 p.m. to beat that darkness on Friday. We did a similar session to Ali, actually, Moose. We did 16K progressive run as well. We changed gears every, changed gears every 4K. So we started at 3:25s for 4K, 3:20s for 4K, 3:15s for 4K, 3:10s for 4K. On paper, ticked it, just felt a bit harder than it probably should have. Wasn't super windy, but we always seem to have the wind. Well, we had the wind for the last 4K with the 3:10s, and that definitely felt more like 3:05s kind of for me, and my heart rate data probably indicates that. It was 7, feels like 5, and it was just felt cold. It just felt like that wind chill kind of made it feel a bit harder than I probably should have. But yeah, we ticked the box, nothing special, but got it done. So all up, that was, oh yeah, we had an issue with the watches as well. So Archie's was 100 meters ahead pretty much after 3 or 4K into it. So had a bit of different data. So his would tick over to change pace and I'd still have 100 meters to go. And then we'd have to decide what to do. And then his ticked over 16K. And I just said, nah, you're going until my one beeps 16K. But then his looks so much better in Strava. His says 16K at 3:15. Mine says 16K at 3:17, even though we're next to each other. But anyway,
that's only 2 seconds.
2 seconds a K, though.
5 seconds out.
Yeah,
Yeah, no, this was 5 seconds within the first K.
So as the first 4K, because I had 4K laps on and he had 1K laps on, and then 4K, pretty much exactly the same step, we were synced. So then it's gone, you know, in the next 12K, it's found 100 metres difference. But I think I've worked it out. Like, this is Coros versus Garmin. Whenever you hit those small blocks, you can probably see on our map that we go around this like caravan park, which is probably an 800 meter square, just so we don't have to do like a U-turn. And his K is like 4 seconds quicker than mine through there. I think the Garmin's more generous, like cutting corners, puts a bit of mayo.
I think yours is more accurate.
Yeah. So that's why I said to him, hey, go through to my watch, because I think this is probably a better indicator of actually running 16K. 7K in the afternoon, 4:37s. So at school, this was so school's obviously shut. So we had a pupil free day Friday just to get ready for the remote learning stuff, which kicked off today on Monday. So that was just sitting down for the whole day is different than what I'm usually doing. But I felt a bit tight through the hips and back, but smashed the foam roller that night. And then 60 minutes Saturday just to recover. Ran out this new housing estate in Moama. Moama's booming, boys. Buy some real estate down here or up here, wherever you're talking about. There's houses popping up everywhere. All these new housing estates, which are beautiful to run through because there's just these nice dirt roads that they haven't chucked down the asphalt on yet. And then 33K on Sunday, Archie and I. So Nathan and Glenn, they're both Victorian, so they've got the Victorian rules, whereas we're on the New South Wales side, so we've got the New South Wales rules, which there are none. So it's just the two of us on this long run. Got rolling, picked out some new trails, did a bit of a map before we got going, and it was a 33k kind of loop, and I reckon 20k of it we've never ran on before, so it was good to kind of experience something new. Wildlife anywhere, everywhere. I reckon we saw 100 kangaroos, a couple of brumbies, wedge-tailed eagle. It was good, so tick that off. 174k for the week. Think I may be in a bit of trouble with Launceston 10K, which is meant to be 2 weeks yesterday, just because I was planning to fly out of Melbourne Airport, but they cancelled all the flights in and out of Melbourne at the moment. So, yeah, hoping that they get on top of these COVID cases and then they open back up the airport. Otherwise, I potentially would have the option, because I'm a New South Wales resident, to go up to Sydney to fly down, or Canberra, or even across to Adelaide. But not 100% sure yet if I want to go to that much effort to go to a 10K race. But it kind of changes the trip from probably, 3.5 hours to 8-9 hours one way. So we'll see what happens in Melbourne the next couple of days. But which would be disappointing, because I was, disappointing in my life. Obviously people got bigger issues going on than missing running races, but I was looking forward to getting on the road and having a crack. But we'll see what happens, out of my control at this stage. So yeah, be interesting.
No good. Yeah, I feel sorry for the Victorians. Like,
just, I know, they get slammed, don't they?
Well, there's a guy I coach who has been training for, is it Traralgon Marathon?
Yeah.
I think that's on this weekend. So he's done his full prep, and he's basically in his last week of the taper, and it's probably not, I guess it's not going to happen.
Is he from Melbourne?
He's from Victoria, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple of, things getting around that maybe they lift the restrictions for regional Victoria later on in the week, so which that's a regional town, Traralgon, so maybe he could run that. What happens.
It's pretty good. These are good times where you can actually put some sort of relative thought to them, because, like, for us, we have to close our business for 7 days. Mm. And so obviously I'm a runner, and I lost a ton of races last year that I was training for, including big ones like London Marathon and stuff. So I know the feeling. But as soon as it gets down to, your financial security and you being able to support your family, the running stuff, it just becomes insignificant. And for us, we have staff that can't work, casual staff in Victoria, and a lot of those industries like hospitality, retail, or non-essential retail, they can't work, so they can't get paid. And there's a lot of people out there with families who are casual staff members, or who own businesses, like
we can't trade. We're basically 7 days trading for us means that we'll probably, like, oh, well, I won't go into the details, but there might be, like, we might have to sort of take loans and stuff in order to pay bills that are piling up that don't just go away. And so it's hard to sort of feel super upset about someone missing a running race when it's like this.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was just saying, like, has different perspectives for different people depending on what you're going on. We might just set up another time trial, Croce. You want to come down to Moama for a fast 10K?
No, too much effort.
Come spend the weekend away. Get as close to the border as you possibly can without going in. So, yeah, we'll see what happens next couple of days, weeks. Let's thank some Patreon supporters, hey, though. Do you want to kick us off, Bradley?
Yep, I'm going to Denmark this week. Give a shout-out to Mathias Edstrom from Aarhus, which they held the World Cross Country Champs a few years back.
They did.
So he's got Beauty a Hill. Yep, 350 marathon PB, according to Strava, and then here's some estimated best efforts. 18:26 for 5K, 37:34 for 10, and 95 for the half. Has a child and a running pram, and is part of the Say Sky World and Community Run Crew. So thank you for your support, Mateus.
Thanks, Mateus. Who you got, Moose?
I have Nick Burnett. So Nick, he's a YCW runner from Ballarat North. He lives. He likes to get out in the bush, sort of runs through Narina, Creswick area. He's run a 3:29 marathon in Melbourne in 2008, 3:39 in 2019, 1:29 half marathon, 40:42 10K, or 20:10 5K. It's getting close there. 20:40 barriers coming up for Nick. He did get some Ekiden next percent, but he's also he's a bit of a super shoe man. Nick loves his shoes. Has been to Sydney. Yep, good one.
There's that photo on Strava, the Harbour Bridge.
Yeah, so funny story about Nick is it was his first time to our run club, and we were doing a trail run, so we went and met up near the scout camp in Ballarat, and we ran on single track, and it got a little bit dark, and we broke into, so we always break into groups, like a faster group, a slower group, and Nick, he wasn't at his fittest at the time, and he went in the faster group, and he was working pretty hard to keep up, and then he was going down and he tripped, so he stumbled on like a tree root, and he went down and he broke his thumb. Ooh. And he's a pizza chef, and so he couldn't work, so it was pretty, and he hit his head actually, and so it was really like it was a big fall, and it was actually had consequence for him. He was off work for I can't remember how long, but because he couldn't like do all the pizza chef stuff, like probably knead the dough or whatever. It was quite a bad first run club for Nick. But look, he came back. He's running well at the moment too.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a funny story about Nick, but anyway, hopefully it's all good.
Was.
He said funny story.
It wasn't a funny. Was it a funny? It was a story. I wasn't laughing. I wasn't like, we got insurance after that one.
I'm going to thank Zoe Dowling from Elstonville in New South Wales. I think there's zero PBs, 22:41 for 5K, 45:08 for 10K, 1:36 for half marathon, 3:44 for the marathon. Has a podcast and a coaching business called Operation Move. And has banged out, this is pretty impressive, 5,044 posts on Instagram. Really good Instagram poster. I looked you up, Croaks. You've posted 29 times and Moose 118 times. So you're going to have to lift your game if you're going to get anywhere near Zoe's numbers.
So I'm big on the stories, though. Big on the stories.
Yeah, okay. So thanks, Zoe, for your support.
I reckon I got pretty good bang for buck then in terms of posts for followers.
How many followers you got?
More than 20.
Always on you, isn't he, about trying to get him up?
What am I at now? 1,800?
1,800
for 29 posts.
Pretty good going. 1,800. You never use Instagram, do you?
Occasionally.
Why would anyone follow you? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Moose.
Content is terrible.
Right, these numbers just drop off this time next week. It might just be 1,800.
On there,
They're probably just on there to see if you put any photos of Viv up.
Oh, yeah, or your kids. Kids are always good for easy likes.
Fashions on the field.
A bit of fashions, yeah. A bit of Vanilla Slice.
Shirt off kind of stuff.
There's not much running stuff these days.
It's got a few different avenues.
Probably got followers after that the pic of that he sent to us about him holding his shirt up. He probably scored a few followers off that.
Yeah, maybe. Let's go to running news, fellas. Do you want to go to the Netherlands first? Because we'll get these girls to come in and tell us about their races. Pretty amazing performances over there, over 5K. Moose, read out the details.
So the details, great race to watch. Funny little race. It was in Nijmegen in the Netherlands. Olympic qualifiers for Izzy Bat Doyle and Rose Davies in the 5,000 metres. So Izzy won the race, ran 15:04. Pretty much controlled the race. There was a pacer. I think the pacer dropped out maybe about 3K, was it? Maybe a bit less.
Just before.
54, yeah. 8 minutes in, I think it was. So maybe
8 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway.
2.6K maybe.
And then no one went in front of Izzy after that. So she was just in front for the rest of the race and finished 4 seconds ahead of another athlete. And then in fourth place was Rose Davies. And Rose ran 15:08. Also getting the Olympic qualifier. Izzy, 7 second PB, number 6 all time Australian, and Rose ran 22 second PB, number 8 all time. So it was a good race to watch just for the fact that we get to see Australians run qualifiers, but they ran it in a pretty low, like, although there were qualifiers run, it was almost like watching a shield meet with qualifiers getting run. There was a bunch of juniors in the same race, probably about 12 of them. And so they were starting to lap people from about five laps in.
Yeah, eight and a half minutes in, they started lapping people. I kind of made a note when I was watching it, which was strange to see that early in a 5K race.
And it's not great either.
Yeah, and it makes a 5K selection now interesting because Jess Hull's automatic, Jenny Blundell won the national title, so she's automatic if she gets the time between now and the qualification period ending. And then you've got now Izzy and Rose. So Rose is definitely not safe at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I guess both these girls will probably target the 10K, I'd say.
Has Jenny Blundell gone overseas, Brad, do you know?
Not sure. No, I haven't heard how she's been going.
Don't hear much from her, do you? Keeps very low profile. We'll see if we can...
Who coaches Jenny? Who's the coach?
Jimbo from Sydney. Oh, what's his last name? Hang on.
Fitzsimmons or something? Yeah, Millie Clark?
Fitzgerald, I think.
Is that the same guy that used to coach Millie Clark when she was in Sydney? Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be interesting to see what happens there if she's going overseas to get in some races. But it was good to see. We talk about them very often, Izzy and Rose, to hit that time because they've been, Izzy in particular, has been so close that night at Box Hill. So we might, fellas, now throw to them, see if we can get this working, throw to them now. All right, now we're going over to the Netherlands. We've got two very special guests who have given up some of their Monday morning, two stars of the weekend, who both got the Olympic qualifying time over the 5K distance. The listeners are very familiar with their names, Izzy Bat Doyle and Rose Davies. Welcome once again to the Inside Running Podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
How are things over there? You must be both very pleased with your efforts over the weekend.
Yeah, really happy. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Has it all sunk in yet? Like, have you been on a bit of a high since the race?
Yeah, I think we're obviously both really happy. It's pretty weird here because it gets dark at like 11 o'clock. So didn't sleep all that much after the race and just kind of trying to get back into the swing of things as we've got another race coming up this weekend. So still riding the wave of excitement, but just, getting back to business as well.
We will talk about what race you got coming up a bit later on. But Izzy, we might start with you. You kind of took over when the pacemaker dropped out about 8 minutes in. And as we've come to expect with you, took up the lead, dropped a pretty quick lap there and kind of strung them out a bit and then finished strong. So to not only hit the time, but get the win as well. And it looked like a bit of a emotional, I guess, finish when the camera kind of cut back to you, a few tears and maybe just overwhelmed or relieved. What was kind of, or maybe tell us about your perspective of the race and then the feelings after you crossed the line.
Yeah. So I guess going back to March when I ran at Box Hill, like that was a big shock to me getting so close to the time. But since then, I knew that I was capable of doing it, and I just hadn't had the opportunity to do it until now. And also falling over in the 3K a couple of weeks ago, I think just made me a bit hungry to really have a good race. And I got to the start line just ready to go and feeling really confident that we could both run the time, and just wanting the race to play out kind of the best way possible. Earlier this week, it had been pretty bad weather, raining every day. We actually got hailed on our Tuesday workout. So we're pretty lucky that it all cleared up for Saturday. But yeah, once the pacer dropped out, it was a bit earlier than I had expected. So I just kind of tried not to get too thrown off, but just go, okay, like I've done this before, let's just do it again. Like you just have to keep running this pace. And yeah, just kind of tried to press every lap and keep it going. And yeah, I was hitting the appropriate splits. And I think about three laps to go, I was starting to hurt, and probably sensing the other girl behind me, Esther Chibet, kind of pressing on me. And it really helped when I felt Rose was there with me too. And I just tried to kind of really give a final push in those last three laps to stay on the pace. And getting the win was obviously awesome. Definitely not what I was expecting or what I was coming here to do, but it was, I made it that extra sweet crossing the line and breaking the tape. And yeah, it was very emotional. I think I was just quite clinical going into the race about just like what I had to do, and then actually doing it and seeing the time and like, I guess, realizing what it meant to me. I was, yeah, started to cry and get a bit emotional, but yeah.
Yeah, congrats on the run and the win. Like, you also had to lap a lot of people from quite a long way out. Like, I know when I'm training just around the pond and having to dodge people, like, what goes through your head when you're having to lap people and knowing that the difference between making the standard and missing the standard is such a small amount? Do you think about it during the race?
Yeah, I think that, look, it's annoying. And I just tried to, I think once we start, when we saw the start list, we knew that that was going to be the case when you've got people running 16:30 or above. So yeah, at least I've had experience when I race a lot in SA, we only have one women's race. So I ran a 3K in like 8:51 and there were people running a 3K in like 14 minutes. So, you know, I'm used to having to run with people and lap them. And it can be annoying, especially if you have to go into lane two. And I think there was just one occasion in this race where I felt I had to kind of go pretty wide. But other than that, I just tried to use it like, you know, look at whoever's in front and try and get to that person and kind of use them as like a moving target. So just tried to reframe it in a more positive way so it wasn't too annoying.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Julian, got a question, or is his internet cut out, Croaks? It might be me and you here. I'm not sure if he's still here, but we'll see what happens. Moose, you here? Moose is gone.
I just got back. Sorry, yeah, I'm back. Is that better?
That's better. The internet is sorted out. You got a question for Izzy or Rose?
Firstly, Izzy, and both of you, well done. I found it pretty funny watching the race that you travelled to Europe and you ended up in what seemed like a bit of a kind of a country league race, passing a lot of girls. And I just wondered whether it was just like the enormity of the effort that it got you up for that, rather than sort of being just another race on the calendar in Australia. It's like you made all the effort to go there, you better make it worthwhile. Is that what happened?
Yeah, definitely. I think that like being over here, like you want to make it count. You know, it's obviously a big trip and a bit of a risk to be away for so long and all of that stuff. But it is funny that, you know, you kind of come all this way and then end up, you know, being at the pointy end of a race. But I think it was quite a nice way to start our season over here and, you know, feel comfortable and feel in control. And I think going into the race, like I really felt I was just trying to get the job done with Rose and Ali, and it was nice that it was quite relaxed. I think it was just, yeah, a good introduction. Next weekend in the 10K, like it'll be completely different. And like, I'm so excited for that. It's what I really want. That's really what I feel like we need to really push ourselves and run the best. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I run well from the front, so I didn't really mind having to do what we had to do. But it's a bit funny that you come all this way and you're at the front leading a race.
Yeah, I really enjoyed like this change of scenery too. Like, it was kind of nice going to a race with no expectations and just knowing what you had to do. There wasn't really any outside people, you know, giving their input. So I like that too.
Yeah, it's cool being somewhere and like literally no one knows you, or like you don't know anyone. You're just like walking around, speaking another language.
And Rose, your race, like you moved 22-second PB, moved to number 6 all time now on the list. It looked like you got strung out a bit there for a while, and then you did a good job to close the gap and kind of hang tough. Tell us about your kind of 5K.
Yeah, well, I was feeling really good until about 2K to go, maybe a mile to go, and I really had to dig deep. But I was just happy because I hadn't really hit any good 5Ks this year. So, yeah, with a mile to go, I was just saying to myself, you know, you didn't come all this way to run 15:20, so hang on.
Rose, I noticed that because they had the lights on the track, and I reckon when you went through the bell, you were pretty much level with the light. Were you conscious of that in that last lap?
I was, and I was just saying to myself, just hang on to the lights and you're fine. But yeah, I didn't really notice them until about 300 to go. So, but I think most of the race we were maybe like a step or two ahead. So I honestly thought the lights weren't working. And then, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. How you could see them? Because you can't see them if you're ahead.
Like, yeah. No, I didn't see them the whole time.
Far you're ahead.
Yeah. No, I didn't see them until 400 to go, and someone yelled at me just saying, "Hang on to the lights, and you're good." So that was sort of what kept me held together, I think.
Probably works a bit better if you're behind them, so you know where you're at.
Yeah.
Do you ladies know what? What Jess Hull's plans are for the Olympics?
I'm pretty sure she's doing the 5K.
Okay, right.
Which brings us, I guess, to the question in terms of, you know, you've both run the times now, so you're a good chance. Obviously, Jess is like auto-selected. Jenny Blundell has the potential to be auto-selected if she runs the time between now and the end of the qualification period, which then would put you, Izzy, in third, which would put you, Rose, in fourth. So I guess this 10K this weekend is really important, especially for you, Rose, to try and make yourself automatic, based on your 5K, you know, you should be able to run under that 31:25 standard.
Yeah. I definitely don't feel safe, in the 5K at all. I think going into this trip, I was definitely more focused on the 10K because obviously if I do get the time, it's auto selection. But yeah, I'm confident I can do it. I just try to not put too much thought into it yet. Just whatever happens on the day happens.
Sorry for putting it into your head.
No, that's okay.
Definitely. And I think that as much as we're excited and I'm really happy with our performances on the weekend, like, there's a difference between an Olympic qualifier and Olympic selection. So we're not packing our bags yet. Like, we're feeling really confident in where we're at and what we're doing. But we've got, you know, more weeks of work to do and more races ahead, and just excited for what's going to be happening in the next few months, wherever that takes us.
And you've spoken about the 10K, but what else is on the race schedule for the next couple of months?
I think it will just depend on how this week goes, yeah. It's all a bit kind of flexible as to results, I guess.
And is there a ceiling that you've put on yourself? Like, we see you run these times doing a lot of work. Like, you know, if you get in a fast-paced race that maybe goes out at 14:45, surely you've got a bit of confidence that you can hang on?
Yeah, like, I definitely think I could run. I think if Saturday I was in, you know, a Diamond League level race, or, you know, even what happened at Portland Track Festival, I do believe I can run under 15, you know, just in the right race with more help. I was feeling so comfortable with Ali in front leading the way, and it only really started to get hard once I was kind of having to run out the front myself, and it was a little bit windy on Saturday, so I did notice kind of that lead making me tired a little bit. But yeah, so I'm excited. I don't really want to put a ceiling on myself here, but I think that the breaking 15 is definitely possible in the next race if it was the right situation.
And do you have, like, pinch yourself moments, like, over the last 6, 8, 10 months? Like, it's pretty amazing the kind of progression you've made.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying to someone just after the race, like, until December, my PB was 15:41. Yeah. So that's a bit of a jump. But yeah, obviously it might look like it'll kind of happen pretty quickly, but it was probably a long time coming. And yeah, I'm just happy that we finally had the opportunities to run. Both of us have a good run.
Izzy, I did some Strava stalking and noticed you ran a 31:47 10K on the track as a fartlek about 4 weeks ago. That must give you some confidence that, you know, you can run, you know, 20, 30 seconds faster in a race and not doing it as a fartlek.
Yeah, definitely. That workout, I think up until that workout, like I was still kind of, I was still not doubting myself, but just, you know, you wonder if you can do it or, you know, you hope you can. You know, you really want to push each session to try and get better. And I think that session I was like, oh, I'm there. Like, I'm definitely there. Like, I just need a run. And yeah, I'm really grateful that session. I couldn't have done it. Riley paced me and another guy, Bryn. And yeah, without their help, would have been a lot harder. I just kind of sat behind them and they hit the splits perfectly. And I closed hard for my last lap. And yeah, I was pretty happy with that for a training effort. So it bodes well for running another 10K.
Mm. Yeah, getting used to a lot of laps.
Rose, how are you structuring your training now? Because obviously Scott Westcott's your coach. And is he, Nick, is he giving you sessions, Nick Bedeau now? Or is Riley coaching you?
Well, kind of a working relationship between the two of them. Nick sets my sessions on Tuesday, and then I do a threshold Friday usually. And the rest of the week, because I'm not in Melbourne with Nick, I'm usually just doing what I do normally. He's given a bit more guidance towards like race week structure. So yeah, I mean, he's coaching me essentially, but Riley's kind of the one when I'm with Riley, kind of helping me make the rest of the week structured. Yep.
So you guys together, Rose, are you just jumping in with sessions or are you guys like training together? How do you work that out with two different coaches and two different programs training together?
Yeah, so I think the sessions that Scott sets for me are very similar to what MTC does. So we're just going to be training, doing pretty much every session and every run together, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not really any different to what I do at home, maybe a little bit, but we're going to training together, I think.
Were you guys close before like Zatopek? It feels like any time we mentioned one of you, we mentioned both of you the last six months. Like, did you guys know each other?
Honestly, I met Rose. She came for a 5K last year, and I probably said three words to you.
Yeah.
I didn't know Rose at all until even Zatopek, like, I, you know.
Yeah, we didn't know each
just,
other.
Just competitors and, like, acquaintances, I guess. But, I mean, I'm 4 years older, so we never really crossed over in any younger years or anything either. But now we spend a week about a metre apart from each other, so things have changed.
And if you let yourselves think ahead at all of the potential of the Olympics with you two and Jessica Hull being the female Australian team, it's pretty amazing for Australian distance runner fans, considering we'd have the fastest ever and the fourth fastest ever and the sixth fastest ever. Oh, sorry, eighth fastest. Really, no, six and eighth.
Six that makes sense. Sorry.
I was looking at a lot of numbers on my page here.
I was like, I'd love that, but I don't quite.
First, sixth, and eighth would be like, it's a pretty impressive Olympic team that would be sending.
Yeah, that would be, be amazing. And like, all of us are, you know, I feel like young in our careers and have got a lot of potential ahead. So it's exciting to see where Australian distance running is, especially in this event. So very exciting.
And if you're both qualified for the 5 and the 10, you'd do both of them?
I would do both,
Yeah, we'll do both.
I feel like it'd be just, an amazing experience to go. You know, I would love to, go to the Olympics and run PBs, but also just being there and, like, experiencing it for this first time would be, I think good just to do both events, get thrown in.
And I've just got one last question. So when you left Australia a couple of weeks ago, neither of you had qualified. So did you just like have a one-way ticket? Did you basically pack as if you weren't coming home till after the Olympics? What was your mindset and your preparations there?
Yeah, so to get a travel exemption from the government, you essentially have to say that you're going away for more than 3 months. So we had to leave with the idea that we were happy to be gone for at least 3 months.
Yeah, and even if we weren't to make the Olympics, like, we would still stay in Europe and find some low-key races and do that.
Yeah.
And make the most of the trip.
Yeah, so we definitely, we packed up going, like, I'm, you know, I told uni, I'll see you in September. So we're definitely, we're planning to be away for at least 3 months from the get-go.
Moose, any last questions before we let him go?
What was this race called? The title of the race, the 10K that you're running?
The one on Sunday, it's
FBK Games.
FBK Games in Hengelo.
This is the Ethiopian trials as well, isn't it? Jen Greggs is the same one.
Saying that maybe it's not this year, but I don't know. All I know is Safan Hassan is running.
And have you heard about pacing and what times it's being paced at?
I believe that Andrea is pacing. I'm not sure what times exactly they're having paces set at.
I'm guessing around like the 31:20 maybe mark, give or take.
They spoke about it on Road to Nowhere, Brad, when they had Jen Gregson as their guest last week. I think it might even be quicker. She's but it could be an interesting race because the Ethiopians could just chill out at the back and go for the win. Not so much a fast time, so he could be up the front there. But Andrea is obviously in form. She had a good weekend, had a good couple of weeks now, so she'll be good to tow you around.
Yeah,
no,
she's
worries.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
It must take a lot of confidence from that as well. Like, a lot of people seem to be running really well on the weekend. Like, it was just amazing seeing all the results come in from different parts of the world.
Yeah, it's cool how there's events happening all over the place, and it's fun to catch up different time zones and see what races have been run.
Yeah, sure. It motivates you guys. Well, thanks so much for your time. Stay safe over there. Good luck for all the races coming up. And, we really appreciate you guys giving some time to the Inside Running podcast audience. I'm sure they got a lot out of that.
Thanks so much for having us on.
Thank you.
Thanks girls. Ladies. Good luck.
All right. See you. See you later.
See you. Bye. Thanks again. All right. Next bit of news, fellas, is the Doha Diamond League. This was Saturday morning our time, I think so. Yeah, this was the first result we saw over the weekend. A few Australians there. What about Stewie? Comes out, comes second, runs 3:31.5, which is obviously an Olympic qualifier. His seventh of all distances. So that's pretty amazing. This was his third fastest time in the race, and he just got beaten by Cheruiyot, the Kenyan guy, who's pretty much nearly unbeatable over the 1500. So huge run from Stewie. He just looks so comfortable on that world stage in Diamond Leagues, and you almost expect him to be on the podium now, which is amazing to think that's just kind of the expectation for him now. He still gets out super slow, doesn't he? He's kind of around that top bend. He's just kind of, you see him going wide, just trying to get out of trouble and then trying to find his spot. But super impressive again from Stewie. Ryan Gregson and Matthew Ramsden were both in that race as well. Matthew Ramsden was 12th in 3:40. Ryan Gregson in 13th position in 3:42. So obviously Stewie the standout there. What'd you think of it, Moose, when you watched it?
Mate, I didn't even watch this one.
Too busy up there.
I can't remember what happened, but it's my internet. I don't get video, so I have to do it while I go out. But yeah, no, I didn't watch it. I watched the final 150 meters of the race and Stewie sort of going after, was it Cheruiyot?
Yeah.
Cheruiyot. Timothy Cheruiyot. So he got in front of that other fella. So it was good to see him kick down. It was good to see him get back again because we know last two races, Jai Edwards has beat him and who else beat him?
Ollie Hoare
beat him as well. So yeah, it was nice to see him get back. And like, he obviously loves Doha. Something about that place where he just performs. So it'd be good to see him do a 5K.
They were in the warm-up stadium though. They weren't in the the legit stadium where the world champs were.
Oh,
the atmosphere looked really. Did you watch it, Brad?
Yeah, I did. I was surprised because when they put the temperature up, it did have, it was like 31 degrees. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem real air conditioned. Yeah. So, yeah.
I did read something on Twitter, but I think this, I didn't do any research into it, but like a local football team or something booked the stadium. So they got moved at the last minute out to the warm-up track. No idea if that's
love
right.
Love that for athletics.
Yeah. He's so impressive though, Stewie. Like, he's just not scared to push the pace. Like, you wonder for championship racing though whether it's going to be the best tactic for him. Just because, you know, he does it so often, goes to the front, but then there's always one or two guys that seem to be able to outkick him. But that being said, it's the guys of Chariot and Ingebrigtsen. So, like, you know, they're one and two in the world, really. But it also makes me wonder which event is he going to do at the Olympics, because, you know, he's definitely medal chance in the 1500, but if it's a slow tactical 5K, you'd have to think with his 1500 speed that he's a good chance of that as well. So it's, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he runs.
What do you do if you're him? Which one?
Oh, I don't know. If I knew the 5K was going to be slow, probably the 5, but just based on how competitive he is in the 15 now against Chariot, Ingebrigtsen, you know, it's probably his safest bet.
And the 5's not going to be slow, though, because you've got, what's his name in the, mind blank, Uganda, Cheptegei. You got Cheptegei in the 5K. He's not going to make it slow.
No.
So, hey, there's 12 bloody Americans running 13:05 or quicker right now.
That's true.
It's going to, there's talent there. Like, Stewie's proven in Diamond League races that he can be in the top 3 1500 runners in the world.
Yeah.
That's where he can medal. The race has to be fast. It has to be fast early. It can't be tactical where the real snappy ones will come over the top of him. He needs to make it a 3:31 race, and he'll be there. He'll be there with Ingebrigtsen and Chariot, I think. And then he can come back like and run the 10. And after the pressure of the 15's gone, then the 10's just open for him.
Which leaves him not in the 5. Opens up a spot there, right, potentially.
Yep.
For a Morgan McDonald if he can snag the time. Jen Gregson was also there in the steeplechase. She was 13th in 9:35, the fastest time for her for 2 years, but a bit off her PB of 9:14. So, that was the wrap from Doha. What do you make of those other boys actually in the 15, fellas? Like, are we putting a line through their names now for potential Olympics? Like, fair way off their best, 3:40, 3:42, or just a bad race for Gregson and Ramsden?
I think it's not looking good for Ryan, but I think Matt's still a chance, especially if he can, because he won the national 5K. If he can get the 5K, he's going to be automatic. So I wouldn't rule out Ramsden just yet, but Ryan definitely needs to, find something, because he's well off what he was even here domestically.
Maybe just travel or something. You never know. Yeah. Moose, anything out there before we move on to Portland?
I think Brad's right. Ramsden will be a better chance making the 5K team. That's probably where he'll focus his efforts now. Well, I don't know, but that's probably the smarter move from my mind.
Well, he knows what he has to do there. It's run the time and you're on the team, whereas there's still whereas selector's discretion.
It's ambiguous
for the 15.
Still. Yeah.
Oh, do we know? We had a listener question about this. Apologies for not remembering the name it come from. But what date do they have to run these times by that we often talk about?
Oh, I reckon it was like June 30 or something.
I'll try and find out between now and the end of the show. I'll have a look. Athletics on their their selection criteria thing.
Well, you tell us about Portland first before you start Googling stuff.
Yeah, so the Portland Track Festival, we had a few Aussies involved. So Paddy Tiernan ran a 1500, which he doesn't do very often. He ran 3:38.64, which, you know, is pretty good for a predominantly 10K guy.
If I told you this time last week that Pat Tiernan's going to run 4 seconds quicker than Ryan Gregson, that would have been a bit unbelievable, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't have picked that, I think. So Jess Hull, she won the women's 5K with a 63-second last lap. So she won in 14:57 by was it like 0.07 of a second or something from Andrea Secafan. And we also had Lauren Ryan running. She ran 15:22.48, which is a PB, and I guess puts her in the picture now for, you know, trying to get that 15:10 standard. And Heidi C ran 15:54. So she's been a little bit up and down the last month. She had that good 5K and then this one not so great. NCAA, Charlie Hunter, he ran with 147.65 800. Was that at that meet as well, Brady?
No, I don't think so. I think this was
regional. Sorry, yeah, NCAA regional. So, I'm thinking that the 800's his chance of making the team, just based on what he ran indoors and stuff like that. I think if he's going to make the team, I think it's going to be in the 800. And last result was Ed Trippis, who's been over in the US at college. I think Princeton maybe. He ran 8:26.25 in the steeplechase, which is the fastest Australian time in 12 years since Yusuf Abdi ran 8:21.98 in Istanbul in 2012. So he's what, like 4 seconds off the standard now?
Yeah, enters the conversation, doesn't he?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh,
more than just entered. More than so entered. Was he...
He was third at Nationals, wasn't he?
Yeah, see, this is interesting, isn't it? Because he came back
and then him. Yeah.
Well, no, I think he was back. He was already back here because I think he was injured at the end of last year. I know when I went up to the Albie Thomas mile, I think he was actually doing some commentary. So he had been in Australia all summer, but I don't think he was injured for a period, and then was basically just starting to get fit again at the end of our domestic season, and now he's headed back overseas. But yeah, look, you'd almost back him in with a couple more races.
Gets better every time, doesn't he? Like, just improving. So that men's steeple is going to be interesting to watch as well, because they're all over there and all going to have a number of opportunities to race. Last bit of news I think I've got here, fellas. Launceston released their elite fields. They look pretty good, but if Victoria can't go, there's going to be some holes in this. Who do you like?
That's right down, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah. You've got Tom DeCano, who goes into the half as the fastest with his 62.13. Andy Buchanan, Liam Adams, Ben St. Lawrence, Riley Cox. That's a pretty elite field for a half marathon. That'd be a good kind of lead pack there. In the women's half marathon, you've got Millie Clark, Carly Thackeray, Miriam Dowley as the first three seeded. In the 10K, Brett Robinson, Jack Rayner, Kieran Tall, Andre Waring. The names go on. There's, I think, something like 18 guys who have broken 30 minutes there. And the women's, Ali, Sinead, Tara Palm, Leanne Pompiani, Casey Wood, Ruby Smee. Some good Australian runners here, and you know, people that go overseas and race constantly. So be interesting to see how this all pans out. Ali, she'll be right, even though she's a Victorian moose, she won't be coming from Victoria. But she might dodge Sinead. Is Sinead still in Melbourne?
She's in Melbourne, so the Victorians, it'd be touch and go, I reckon. I don't think it's looking real good. I would say it's probably 20% chance they get there for this. I just wanted to sort of touch on the fact that there's so many great names and in this field. Wouldn't it be great if there was just one distance to see them all go head-to-head? I feel like we're spreading the load here when Launceston 10 was always like a great 10K race, and now you've got like Liam, like Jack and Brett in the 10, Liam in the half. It would be just so good to see all the marathoners go at it in this race. And you've got Tom DeCano and the guys coming up like Nick Earle and Andy. You got the old sort of guy, Kieran Tall. It would just be great to see everyone in the 110K. Just the spreading of the load kind of dilutes the fields a little bit to me. And you got like in a half marathon, you got Millie running 110 and then distance really, and then you're in the 10K, but there's Ali, Sinead, Tara Palm, Leanne Popmiani. Like, it's a great field. I think it's more of a commercial move, Moose.
Put on more events, which means and like it's more for the like the punters, you know, just getting more entry fees, like getting more people running, like especially when like a half marathon is a bit more of a challenge than a 10K. So
Why don't you just put all the fun, put all the prize money into the 10?
Well, that just, would, yeah, that would fix it, wouldn't it?
It would fix it straight away, and you could put more in. Yeah. Like, if you're going to be paying prize money through the half, just forget the half. That's the fun run. The 10K is also a fun run, but the elite race is just the 10, and you're going to get the best of the best competing against the best of the best, running the race, stopping, and watching the second best guy run a different race and finish. But you'll always have this problem, won't you? Like, with people not really wanting to compete against others so much to get a cheaper or to get an easy access to money, because fair enough, this is a lot of their professions.
Do you think that, I don't think that's on the men's side though. I just think guys like Tom, Andy, Liam, Benny Saint, they, Riley Cox, they all want a half marathon hit out before they do, most of them do Gold Coast Marathon in a few weeks
afterwards.
Yeah,
perhaps that,
I don't think they're sitting there going, hey, I don't want to race Brett and Jack. But yeah, that's just the men's. I'm just going off the top of my head. I just think that's what those guys are thinking.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But how good would it be to have them all together where it becomes a premier event each year where it's almost like on a smaller scale of what you see in Japan, where we go through the results and we say 50th place was 32-30, that only happens when everybody does the one race.
And you just have packs everywhere, like there'd be a 28-20 pack, there'd be a 28-45 pack, a 29 dead pack, like, yeah.
Wouldn't be because the half, you'll have four or five guys together and then, you know, 30-second break and then there'll be another little pack.
And then it'll be bigger than that. Then it'll be like a 4-minute break back to the 70-minute pack or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big gap in there between 62 and 66, 67. We'll see what happens with that event in a couple of weeks' time. Listener question, Bradley.
Do you want some qualification information first?
About what? Oh, yeah. When is that date, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the marathoners only have another three and a half hours Aussie time to qualify. So 31st of May is the cutoff for the marathon and 50K walk. And all the other events, 29th of June.
Oh, phone call to Noosa tomorrow then, Croaks. I mean, Moose.
It won't be straight away, but like that's the qualification period for the marathon and the 50K. So, be nice to wake up on the 1st of June and have a look and see that you're still top three in the rankings in the marathon.
Yeah, Hallie sets her alarm for 12:01, punches the sky, goes back to sleep. That's interesting.
It is. It's funny because, like, I think if you're in that position, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's been some examples of some very crazy selections over the years, and you just need to get the phone call.
Like, I know I mentioned it when I sort of interviewed Jai Edwards, but it must be a weird feeling for people like Ellie who are, like, in the middle of their prep for Tokyo but haven't got the phone call to say they're going, compared to a guy that crosses the line in a race, and the moment he crosses the line gets told he's going to the Olympics. It's, you know, like, it's two ways of making the team. I know which one I'd prefer, but I guess that's always the way with athletics.
Especially because that feeling's been there for 18 months now or more. Like, it's just the time's been posted. No one's – oh, well, Lisa has beaten it. And no one's beaten it for that long, but you're just sitting there on the chopping block the entire time. It must be an anxious period.
All right, listener question from Chris O'Sullivan. Hey, guys, not sure how the listener questions work. Hopefully I'm doing this right. In Road to Nowhere, Joel talks about
don't need to read that.
Hey, I'll just read what's here.
I just copy and paste what comes in.
In Road to Nowhere, Joel talks about doing a 30-minute threshold as a staple weekly workout. If threshold is roughly the pace you can hold for an hour or half marathon pace for elite runners, is 30 minutes at 60-minute pace not a very hard workout to do every week? Elsewhere, I've seen guidelines to do 20 minutes at threshold, and if going longer, drop the pace or tempo or split it up in long intervals. On a general note, do elites just have to do harder workouts? I usually assume I can just do an elite runner's workout and adapt it to my own pace, but maybe different volume / intensity is appropriate for amateurs. Thanks, fellas. Thanks for your question, Chris.
It's actually It's actually a really good question, because you always hear this is the guideline to the pace or the effort that you want for your threshold run. A good runner can hold it for an hour, or a good runner can, it will be about half marathon pace. For everyone else, it's a pace they can hold for an hour. Mm. But you could never go and run a threshold, at your true threshold, for 60 minutes unless it's a race atmosphere with everything going right, tapered, fresh, with adrenaline and all that. So just because you can do something, and that means you're emptying the tank and you're absolutely exhausted on the finish line. Like, you've gone to the well and you've finished and you're cooked. That's the limit of your effort that you can put in. And maybe you can pull that out, say, once every few months, you can pull out that sort of effort. But you can't do that every week. And so at 30 minutes of running that pace, you'll feel fatigued. You'll feel like you are getting puffed. Your heart rate will rise throughout that time. There'll be drift. There'll be accumulation of sort of fatigue, which will make your heart rate rise. And all the other running that you're doing during the week will build up to make the workout harder as well. So there's different variables that go in to make this difficult.
You certainly, if you're running 30 minutes at roughly what you could hold for 60 minutes, you shouldn't finish that going, oh yeah, I can hold this for another 30 minutes in a training week. There's no way. Like, I guess if we're comparing it to ourselves, like, so what, my half marathon PB pace was like 3:05s. Now, if I run a 30, 50, 10K in a training week, like, that's bloody hard. Like, you know, I want to stop in a few minutes if I do that. So, yeah, it's actually not.
I don't think
not...
you could do it. I don't think I could do that on a Tuesday.
No, I could
yeah.
never
I don't
do
think
it.
I could run it, yeah. I don't think I could run a sub-31 10K when we train at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning in Moama.
So I almost prefer to think of it as, like, what you could hold for... like, probably not even what you could hold for 60 minutes on that day. Like, you finish these tempos, you know, going, all right, well, yeah, I could probably do another 15 minutes or something like that. Like, I remember asking Jack this question when we did that live show down in Melbourne. And, like, said, you know, like, when you finish these, like, you know, could you do it again? He's like, no, I couldn't do it again, but, like, I could probably do another 10 to 15 minutes. And you look at what those guys do. Like, they do regularly around Albert Park 3-minute Ks, which for them, like, that is slower than what they do for a half marathon. What is, well, Brett in particular, like, Brett's half marathon times, what, low 250s, I think. So, like, 8 seconds, about, you know, 8 seconds a K slower, maybe?
254, I think.
254. So 254. Yeah, so he's running 6 seconds a K slower than what he can actually race for an hour, and he's for his 30-minute.
That would be more accurate. So now use your example. Instead of running 3:05s for half an hour, run 3:11s for half an hour.
Yeah. And that's solid.
Yeah, that'd be solid. I'd still feel like I've worked doing 10K at 3:11s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where also it's really hard. I was just going to say, where people just give blanket run 5K pace, 10K pace, half marathon pace. Now, that doesn't work, because if you're setting a session for us, say run 10 minutes at half marathon pace, which is a pace that we're going to run for, you know, hold for roughly an hour, that's completely different to somebody that runs a half marathon in 2 hours. You know, that's going to feel a lot easier for them than it would for us.
That's why the word effort's so much more important than pace in training, I find.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And the longer it goes.
We all have...
Sorry, Moshe, yeah.
We all have different physiologies as well, and some people are very comfortable running thresholds and others really struggle with threshold running. So you can have guys, like, say you have two guys who run 30 minutes for 10K and their last race they finished side by side on the line. But when you look at their threshold work, you might have one of them who goes out and runs thresholds at 3:05 pace, and the other one can't do 15 minutes at that pace in training, and they have to do it differently. So there's different athletes that can run thresholds comfortably than others.
And also looking at the conditions that you're running in. So many people will go, oh, okay, where, like, say you run your half marathon PB on the Gold Coast and it's like flat, steel, perfect roads, and then they're trying to replicate the same sort of pace on like a dirt track or on a hot day or a windy day. Yeah, like it's so there's so many variables that you need to factor in.
And Joel Dudd did talk about that. Oh yeah. Do you listen to that episode, Moose, where he talked about him doing thresholds with Matthew Ramsden?
Yes.
He was kind of saying that Matthew Ramsden's not great on thresholds, so Joel might beat him, but then on the track it's a different story, and you know, Matthew Ramsden's probably 30 seconds quicker than Joel over 5K. So, different people suit him to different workouts.
He talks about how he does his thresholds at heart rate, and so that dictates how fast that he runs. And then you've got Stewie who just wears a stopwatch, who doesn't look at pace or heart rate, and so runs to how good he's feeling on that day. And then you've got Jack and Brett who seem to run to pace. So it's funny that there's one training group, three different approaches to how they're running threshold sessions, when they're all sort of getting the same thing out of it, really, aren't they? Because they're smart runners. They're elite professional runners. They know what they need to be feeling like. They know what... And the other question here, do elites just have to do harder workouts? I just assume I can do elite runners' workouts and adapt to my own pace. I don't think so. And that's where the elite runner who's running 160K plus weeks can handle more volume in their workouts than what someone who runs 50K a week can. So that's like if you're running less volume overall for the week, your workouts shouldn't be a higher proportion of that volume than what elites are. If that makes sense. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Good question, Chris. Thanks for your Patreon support as well over there. Moose on the Loose, Perch of the Week.
It certainly wasn't internet, was it?
Oh, got off my last week. So gave him a good tip out, saw his internet out, just obviously.
And when he did it. You know what? Ali and I both went into Aldi, bought $25 of internet, got a new SIM card, set it up, and it's worse than the Wi-Fi here. I don't know. You've stitched me up. I'm going to put in a receipt for that and get the podcast to pay for that because that was a real stitch up. I got goggles. I'm not buying a lot at the moment, seeing as though we're not trading it. It seems I can't go out spending like normal, but did get these goggles because I left mine on the beach. So had to invest. They're red, shiny red. They're like got tint on them. I went down to the local sports store and he went out the back. He had one pair of goggles left and I'm like, whoa, speed dealer red goggles, perfect. They didn't work though. I still so slow. Slow at swimming.
Still not good at swimming.
Look, I'm not sure. I just think I'm swimming with absolute fucking fish. I think I need to go find some spuds and go swim with them just so I feel good. I might just hang out on the beach, wait for some real slow looking person to go out, and I'll go join them and go, hey, do you mind if I have a swim with you today?
You need to get down there a bit earlier, Moose, for the 60-year-olds that get in at 5 a.m.
Yeah, but they're the ones that do it every day. They're probably real good at swimming. I need the guy who rocks up to Noosa for his 1 week a year. Yeah, I'm going to go and do some swimming like I am right now. That's the guy I need to go swim next to.
Very good. Well, keep it up. No Moose on the Looses. I much prefer Moose on the Loose than Perch of the Week, Brad.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
he hasn't been that angry recently, has he?
Back I have south. Been.
Oh, jeez. Geez, I've been teeing off in private messages.
What kind of stuff?
It makes sense given how little he's been running. Surely that would piss him off. He'd be
that's
angry.
What I said. Yeah. I've been talking to Zacha. I was talking to Zacha yesterday and I was like, oh, I'm in. He's like, what's wrong with you? Are you on the binge? because there's just so many things annoying me, but none of them are available for. I think one thing up here that annoys me is the amount of people on the pubs that don't understand stay. You would know, Brad, because you did a lot of running in the national park area, that it's a narrow trail. Everyone in here is an Australian, or well, 99. We don't have international tourists, and so it's the same as the road. If you're running up a path,
that's relatively skinny and there's others coming towards you, you stay on the left. If you stay on the left and the person coming towards you stays on the left, then everyone's fucking happy. Then it's great. It's bananas, right? If you don't stay on the left, then you're blocking the person coming towards you, or you're blocking someone trying to get around from behind. And so the system breaks down. People get angry. The person running gets angry. They make conscious decision to go past you as close as they possibly can, hopefully making you uncomfortable as they go past. So in the future, you'll stay to the left. Well, that's my tactic anyway. If I'm coming towards you and you're not staying to the left, I'm not moving. I'm going to stay in my legal spot on the left-hand side of the path, straight. Now, I'm coming at a velocity at 15K an hour, and I'm probably weighing more than this influencer who's walking towards me on her phone, not looking up. So we know what's going to happen. And so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to shoulder charge through someone. But just the rush and the force coming towards you might realize, oh, geez, maybe I should be on the left here. Just like if I was driving my Hyundai XL down the street, I've got to stay on the left. It's safer for everybody. The system works that way.
Mm-hmm. Didn't take long from tee off, did it?
That's good.
Bit of encouragement.
You just got to prod a bit, don't you?
You do.
Tell him you like it and he'll give you one. What's coming up? We've got Dave McNeil and Jack Bruce in action over 5K. Gothenburg, June 2nd. That must be midweek race. Then June 3rd, Rory Hunt and Jai Edwards over 1,500 metres. Halava, have I got that right?
Yeah, I think it's Spain, maybe. Spain? So I know Jai's still in Canberra. He, him and Dick are flying out on Thursday. So he's not going to have...
Listen then, will he?
Well, I'm not sure.
He's taking Dick over with him.
Yeah, Dick's heading overseas. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Take the coach. Then our Gold Coast live show, that's coming up in a few, well, we've got 5 weeks. 14 tickets left, nearly sold them all out. Thanks to Morton.
Are we allowed to bring people? Were we allowed to bring friends?
I told you if you wanted a friend, you need to let me know. Remember? You want me to close one for Bree?
It's the only friend he's got.
That'll put us up to 187. Probably. There'll be only 13 left after this conversation. So get in quick.
Although she does not enjoy this, so she probably won't come anyway.
I'll send you the booking details so you can put your card in there, charge you full price.
I wouldn't put it past you two blokes.
Hey, don't throw me in with the croaker like tight ass thing. I'm all right.
I know I'm going to be buying my own beers up there, that's for sure. I won't be getting a beer out of you two.
Nah, ASICS and Morton sponsor them. We'll get them, put a few dollars over the bar, hey? That'd be good. That'd be nice of them. Ben Toomey from Morton, he's good with drinks. We're done. We'll throw to 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere, and then we'll see everyone next week. See you, fellas.
See you, guys.
See ya.
Forgot to ask what you got coming.
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 16 of the second season of Road to Nowhere. I'm Nick Earl, the first Tasmanian across the line at XCR 8K cross country on Saturday. The fact that it was in Victoria, I feel, is irrelevant. So, you know, first Tassie. Welcome to my co-host. He's been described as the poor man's Matt Ramsden.
I think the poor man's Matt Ramsden is Matt Ramsden.
So no, it means someone just a bit worse, you know, shorter, uglier, slower. Anyway, yeah. Joel Tobin-White.
I'll cop that. He's a pretty gorgeous looking fella, isn't he?
Pretty chiseled. How are you, Joel?
I'm good. Pretty tired at the moment. Been banking some good Ks, so just can't wait to race. Lots of some 10K so I can... Well, I don't know. Sorry, I can't wait to taper. That's where I lie.
Drink wine and taper.
I'm not going to lie and say I'm excited for the race. I'm excited for the taper.
Do you get a good taper for Lonnie?
I'll give myself one. Nah, I sort of just take out... I take out doubles, all doubles the week of... I don't know. I probably should... If I had like a massive... You know, like if I was going to Olympics or something... And, you know, down the track, I wouldn't be able to do that sort of stuff. But I sort of feel like I'm just racing. So,
yeah.
Why
not?
So we've got tired Joel Tobin White. That's good.
a tired Joel is just no fucking fun at all.
Yeah, I was like, but we're going to struggle tonight. Oh, well, hopefully he wakes up.
Did pour himself a big glass of red wine, so he'll be fine.
Ah, that's good. Okay, welcome to my other
co-host. 5 minutes.
Ellie, I'm introducing you.
Oh, sorry. Well,
we always do this.
Welcome to my other co-host, the Hansel of Australian distance running. She's been gracing the front pages of magazines and everything. She's so hot right now. Ellie, how's Noosa?
Oh,
Hansel, so isn't Hansel the boy?
Yeah, he's the one who was taking Zoolander's spot as like the hot spot.
Oh, yeah.
It's Owen Wilson, right?
I do. Wilson, actually. yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, right. How's the weather up in Noosa?
Well, like last week, it's actually raining again tonight, but it has been really nice. It's just,
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're
it's
in the
like
shelter
Victorian
of your car.
Victorian summer. Yeah.
Yeah, Ellie's calling us from
internet
her car.
Issues up here, so I've driven just down the road to where there's phone service.
Is that what Moose did yesterday?
I'm not sure. I think his room has better service than mine, but yeah.
That's annoying.
Moose probably brought up a big
honeymoon
like 5G
suite
setup.
Or something. I think me and Jace are out in the pleb area.
The pleb area, even though you're the athlete and he's the coach. Like, what the hell? That makes sense.
I know.
Ugh. All right. So, yeah, Ellie, we might as well go into your week of training up in Noosa.
Sure. So I started my marathon block this week, which means we're doing it a little bit differently this time because I'm not training with the group. My sessions and long runs will be on slightly different days, but this week I just had two. So I had on Wednesday I did 4x3K with a 500 meter float, and we'd only arrived on Monday, so we were sort of trying to find a good workout spot, and we went down near Twin Waters, which is about maybe 25 minutes south of Noosa. And it was okay. It was raining and the road was a bit slippery where we did the workout. But I had Jules on the bike, which was really handy. And I just did, my 3K reps were 325, 327, 325 and 321. And then my floats were like between 350 and 4 for the 500 meters in between. So that was, it was like fine. There was nothing too amazing about it. It felt pretty comfortable though, which was good.
Yeah, a little bit of elevation by the looks of it, just a little.
It was pretty flat.
It says 60 meters over the 14K, which is flat, but
that is not much. Yeah. It was dead flat. Yeah.
To be honest, as close to dead flat as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured if you're on like a spit.
I think you went over a couple of bridges maybe. That was probably the 60 meters.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was, really. It was a little bit weird, though. We went through this housing estate and Jules had the map and we ended up, like, crossing through this grassy area. I think we got a bit lost in there. So there were a few little hiccups. You know when you're somewhere new and you're just trying to work out your way around? So it was a little...
I hate doing that session.
Julian would have been like, I'm not lost.
I'm a comfort zone person with sessions, too. I have my spots that I like to do these, so I think we've got it sorted now. I think we've found a few different spots, but it was good. So that was, I think, about 22 k's that day, and for my 14k workout I averaged 3:29s, which is probably about marathon pace.
What does that give you for a marathon, that pace?
3:29s is about 2:27, I think.
2:27, okay.
Yeah. So that's my 3K ons were a bit faster. They were like 3:25 pace. So that's it's really tricky because what my marathon pace is in these sessions is going to, if I get picked for Sapporo, it's going to be completely different there because it's going to be so hot. So we're essentially just training to effort and then... Yeah,
that makes sense.
Can't wait for half the listeners there to just think, half the listeners are just thinking, oh, what race is in Sapporo?
Oh, the Sapporo Marathon. Yeah.
Sapporo Marathon.
My mum would be like, oh, is Nick doing that fun run in Japan?
You must get some confidence, Ellie, you know, getting through 14K at marathon pace and then knowing on race day you need to do that two more times.
Yeah, well, finally, I do, because I always, I think any pace that I can run for 14Ks, I actually feel like I can hold for a marathon when I'm tapered and fit. So I often do 14K tempos, like at some stages throughout the marathon block, or 10-mile tempo, and that always is a pretty good indicator for me of my marathon pace. So, it sounds
so ridiculous, go fuck yourself, so Joel. Much further.
Yeah, but was Moose, like, were you drafting Moose at all, or was he just there, like, next to you kind of thing?
No, I told him, so we always fight when he's on the bike and I'm doing sessions, and he was like, I'm not riding in front of you, I'm here to, like, oh, I can't remember what he said, but and then it was really windy for the first bit, so I'm like, get in front of me. What are you even here for if you're not
going to exactly.
And then he got in front of me and he was like getting in my way. So then I was like, okay, just ride beside me. It's not that windy. I don't need you in front of me. But yeah, that was
him in front is like a fucking semi-trailer as well. So that'd be nice.
It's pretty hard, I think, on a bike to ride an even running
consistent pace. Yeah.
It's, like, especially too for the first rep when I was just getting into my rhythm and probably we didn't really know what pace I was going to be running. So, he was fine. I think that was the only fight we had on that session, which was rare. And then on Sunday I did a long run with a workout in the middle of it. So we met two guys, Dan and Peter. So Dan is trying to qualify for the Paralympics for the 1500.
Right.
So he had just been up training in Perisher with Jared Clifford and his group, and him and his coach Peter live in at the Sunshine Coast. So they came along and we did 23Ks with them first, and then I had 10K of 3 minutes on, 1 minute float, and then a 3K cool down. So it was about 36K in total. Which, I mean, the good thing about this was that the 3 minutes on was marathon effort. So that's actually not that long running faster.
Yeah, but it's after 23K in the league.
Did you change shoes, Ellie?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I came back to the car and changed shoes. Yeah. But we did it on a loop that was has a couple of hills in it, which was actually nice because it broke it up. So we did a 23K on a trail first, and then Peter actually jumped in with me for the first half of the workout. And then, my 3 minute reps, let's see what they were. The first one said 3:35, but I don't believe that.
That's the spirit.
It was a bit faster.
The watch.
No, the watch
sometimes
lies.
That's the saying, isn't it?
I said that to Jules at the end and he was like, righto. So then 3:25, 3:27, 21, 26, 23, 20, 25, 23. So they were all pretty even. And then my minute floats were around 3:50,
3:55. It's classically faster than marathon pace. I like it. Yeah. The workout's marathon pace. Oh, I feel great. I'm going to run 3:20s.
I had a few times I had my heart rate on this one, and a few times I was like, I'm going too hard. This is not marathon effort. But because it was only 3 minutes, it was kind of tempting. That was good. So 36K. And, God, I love workouts in long runs so much more than easy long runs. It just goes so much quicker, because you dread the workout for the whole first part of the long run before you do the hard stuff. You're just thinking about that, so that comes around really quickly, and then the workout part always goes quite quick because you're just concentrating on hitting splits. And so that was quite good.
It's kind of, it's not like a long run for free, isn't it? Like, you just, you know, you've only run 23K for a normal long run. You've done a session and then, it's a 36K long run, which would be awful to like wake up in the morning knowing you got 36k long run to do. Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Jules, like, I've been doing easy 30k long runs for a while now, and this just felt like it went so much quicker and almost felt easier than a lot of those. So yeah, so that was a nice one to sort of ease into the marathon stuff. But yeah, I did 167.3 k's for the week. So
jeez,
that was a pretty big week for me.
Yeah, you might have just got me.
Yeah.
Definitely got me. So is that the idea is two sessions a week, including a session in your long run?
Yeah, that's what we usually do. I think some weeks it might end up being three. We might work off like a 9-day cycle or something. So,
yep.
And because of the races that I've got as well, I'm doing Lonnie 10 and Gold Coast half. So they throw the program out a little bit where I'll do, yeah, some shorter sessions and long runs during those weeks as well. So
it'd be nice to break up the marathon block though, don't you think?
Yeah. Those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I know, because like Jack and Brett have been saying the same thing. Yeah.
And you get a little taper, which is really nice as well. Yeah. 30 days leading into a race. And yeah, some of these ones, I think I'll get a little taper before and then it'll be straight back into pretty hard stuff after them. But yeah, it should be good. So
yeah,
it's so much easier to do mileage like that when you're not working and when you're away. It's amazing how much less taxing it is. But
yeah, so you're definitely going for this like new school of thought about like marathon training, because I was talking to Liam after the race on Saturday, Liam Adams that is, and he was like doing Tuesday, Thursday, kind of Saturday, and then a long run Sunday. Like I think that's what Mona used to do, that kind of training. So yeah, you're very much just two, because that's basically four sessions a week if you're, because he said he sometimes kicks down the long run as well.
Yeah.
Which Liam's a psychopath.
Yeah, like, Liam's a psychopath.
That would be brutal.
Julian kicks down his easy runs too.
Yeah. No, I think he keeps his easy runs pretty cruisy, but probably because he's so exhausted from running 250K weeks.
Yeah.
Or being on the tools all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Jules is pretty, he's sort of got his own philosophy, I guess, which is probably more that strength endurance style training. Which is a lot more like high volume workouts. And my workouts during the week will get quite a lot bigger too. They'll be kind of up over 30Ks, but then more recovery days in between.
Yeah.
So I quite like it.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's different. There's no right way.
So are you gonna hit 100-mile weeks then, do you think? Like constantly now? Or
I always do like big weeks and then down weeks. I never just do sort of consistent weeks. So I'll probably be doing like two or three big weeks in a row, and then I'll have a lower mileage week, which will actually coincide with the races.
Yeah,
and so what would that be, like 130 or something, do you think?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, I think he might give me a really light one at some stage in the marathon block just to
totally freshen up. Yeah.
Yeah, not like it'll still probably be over 100Ks, but it'll be a big drop in mileage. Yeah. And then,
how many weeks is it, Ellie, actually? 12?
Good question. I actually don't know.
We should change this podcast to Road to Sapporo. Road to Sapporo with two dickheads.
One athlete, two dickheads.
10 weeks or 10 and a half weeks.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's pretty cool for the listeners to be able to hear. Like, I know I was saying the two dickheads is a joke, but it is sort of true. Like the listeners get to ride the wave of like, wow, we're going to hear every single week, like, you know, Ellie, and we're going to ride it with her. We're going to be there with her. And then we have to listen to Joel and Nick talk shit.
Nah. Yeah, well, who knows? Like,
we'll have Ali go first.
Injured or anything could happen, and yeah.
Yeah, we'll have Ali go first every week, Joel.
Hopefully, you have a 70s wood paneled car that you can touch wood in just then, Ali. Because I know you're sitting in a car and you're probably looking at your head darting around, going, "Fuck, where's wood?"
Well, anyway, good. That's a
big week.
It's a huge week, Ellie.
Sort of a bit embarrassed going into my week now.
Yeah, I know, but we that's where we're going, Joel.
Yeah, but only with two workouts, it's like, I think, yeah, the bigger mileage is more manageable. And I mean, this isn't even really big mileage compared to what some people do, but it's big for me. It's big for us on this podcast.
Also, it's not sexist to say that men run faster than women. So, like, if a bloke is running, like, 167, so for the time on feet, a bloke's probably running, what, 180 for that, would you say?
When you say a bloke, it's a pro bloke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, if Jack and Brett were running that long every week, it would probably be 180.
Yeah. Could be.
So when we were away in Cairns, like, we did the same, pretty much exactly the same training as Jack and Brett, and their mileage was, yeah, probably an extra 20 Ks a week.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, just right.
Get further in those, especially when you do it, like, yeah, 60 minutes, 90 minutes or whatever.
They should test 1 week, just do the exact same pace as you, and then on Sunday afternoon go out for a 20K run and make up and just see if that benefits them anymore.
You should tell them that. Guys, just do a little trial for when you're Olympic marathon
prep. Yeah, it's only the Olympics.
They've got the dietitian, Jess Rothwell, talking about the dietitian. They're like, and now we're introducing Joel Tobin White to
Joel's theories.
I've got the blackboard out. That was the most stupid joke on earth. All right, theories I'm start my Joel. Week.
Yeah, sorry. Go, Joel.
There you go.
Please. I had a session of 2K. This is at the tan, and it was a 2K around the bridges, and then 4x1K, and then 4x500. And yeah, myself, Geordie, Jack, and Brett all went out together. The bridges is a little bit short for 2K. I haven't done that this year. I don't think. Maybe the end of last year. But yeah, ran pretty good. It was 5:34 for.
How's like, how's the turns on the bridge loop? Because I've never actually done that in a
session. They're you notice them definitely. You have to slow down. You lose momentum. They're pretty shit, to be honest.
Yeah, and like surely there's loads of cyclists and stuff and people.
No, we sort of ducks at 9:30. Yeah, there's 500 ducks waiting on every corner. But no, there's not many cyclists.
Okay.
it's fine. I'm not going to complain about that. There's so many more other things I can complain about.
Rather than ducks. All right. Rather than ducks. But like, I mean, when you've got the tan just there, I'm just like, I know you run around there all the time.
Change it up. Yeah, yeah. That's the thing, I reckon. Just giving something a bit different.
Yeah.
I like the bridges loop.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it's fucking nice when you treat it as a 2K loop. So 5:34. Don't ask me the exact distance. It was 1.97. So yeah, still,
it's only 30 meters. So what's that like? That's gonna take you like
two. My watch had seconds, 2:51 pace. Yeah, so it was good, and it was 60 seconds after everything, which I find that quite difficult. You know, doing 2K and 2:51 pace, and then having 60 seconds going straight into the K's. Previously we've had like that's 90 brutal. Seconds before. I'm sure we've had 2 minutes before as well at some point. But yeah, I was feeling pretty good this day. So went 51, 48, 51, 50 for the 4x1K. And nice. Then I was pretty much running, I went 82, 79, 80, 78 for the 500s. So shit, that's like
that's
2:43.
I do 400s in.
is there marks on the road on the
exactly
watch?
Exactly, yeah. 500 mark. Yeah.
Wow.
Two signposts. And that was running. So Jack and Brett actually You know, I've just sort of got this new sort of outlook on my training at the moment, just because I've been so consistent for so long. And I just feel like, you know, I don't want to be a hero in any particular session. In previous sessions, you know, I'll go with Jack and Brett until I blow. And like, you know, one day I might fucking run really well and finish with them. You know, one day I might even be able to drop them or something. But it's like, at the end of the day, I'm not as good of a runner as them. So if you just treat, you know, they're so much more consistent. So there's no point me, you know, absolutely killing myself to try to stay with them on a good day, and then the next week I'm cooked. So yeah. I was with them for the 2Ks, and then we all went the first 1K together, which was, I said, was 51. And then on the way back, I wasn't looking at my watch, and Jack and Brett sort of stormed out of the gates. And Geordie went with him, and I was like, no, this just feels too quick. I'm just going to run. And then I sort of thought, oh, this is a bit unfortunate. I'm blowing up here already. It's pretty early into the session. I'm blowing up. And I didn't look at my watch for some reason, and I was a good like 20 meters behind. I was probably 10 meters behind Geordie and 20 meters behind Jack and Brett. And I come across the line, 2:48. And I go, what the fuck did you guys just run? And Jack's like, yeah, we just did 43. And I was like, oh, get out of here.
Was there a tailwind? Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was pretty good conditions.
Is this on the concrete?
No, this is on gravel. This is on gravel.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So, yeah, like they were flying. And then I said to Geordie, I go, well, I don't want to be running that. So let's just back off and do our own thing. And that was, yeah, as I said, 51 and 50. And for the 500s, I was just sitting on Geordie pretty much, which was good because, you know, the previous week, Geordie was sitting on me. So Geordie and I sort of help each other out quite a lot. It's good. Unfortunately, got a little bit of a niggle after this session. I don't know if it's the new shoes. I was running in the Adidas flats that Jack gave me. Yeah, Jack was nice enough to give me.
So you've got the same size feet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So which ones? The Adidas pros.
Yeah, like the race, the really good race flat. What do you call them? So the super shoe.
Yeah.
So they're equivalent to the Next Percents or whatever.
Cool.
Did you like them?
Well, I do. I really do. But then I've just got this, like, you know, the runner's knee ITB sort of thing. So, yeah.
You had that last week.
Well, that was, it came on that.
On that Tuesday.
This is the Tuesday I'm talking about last.
And
it's just been lingering on. It's actually every day. I haven't had to reduce my training at all until today. I just totally backed off on today's session. You'll hear about that next week, but it was a bit shit. I just didn't bother with it. But I'm still running big Ks, so it's sort of hard. I find like when you get a little niggle, you know, I'm running the biggest weeks I have every week, and I feel like I can just manage it. It's not that bad.
Such a fine line between like going sort of like not gaining fitness or getting yourself injured. It's exactly. That fine line.
That's why now, like, you know, when in the session this morning, I'll talk about it next week. But when something comes on, I look to Collis in the middle of the rep. I just went nah, and I just ran home. I was like, I'm 27 years old now. Not that that's old, but you know, I've been injured for so long. I've had four years of being injured. Now I'd way prefer to just miss a session and not have to have a fucking week off and bury myself. And
did you say bye to anyone, or you just ran home?
No, I was in a pretty shit mood. I said, Smack was there, and I said to Smack, I go, Smack, can you tell Brett to take my clothes and my shoes home? And he goes, yep. And I said, all right, bye, and then just ran off.
Wow.
How sore is it now?
I did a double run, couldn't feel it. It's just.
Were you on the track today?
No, it was at the tan. I just sort of think.
Is it the slippery gravel?
Yeah, that could maybe have been it. It's also coming on to the I get physio Wednesday nights. So Tuesdays, you know, it's like I'm just about to get my physio treatment. So it's sort of like it's always the worst on Tuesday, I reckon. And then I'll get treated tomorrow, and then it'll be fine. You know, like I still am running good. Good training. I'm not worried about it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool. Yeah. So Threshold Thursday was good. Went with Geordie. Remember how I said last week, Collis told me about, you know, because I went out, we went crazy hard with Jack and Brett, and then I was sort of like I hit my threshold early, and then you're just sort of suffering through and you're getting slower at the threshold.
Yeah.
And I finished with 304 average pace. well, there was sort of, it was windy everywhere at the lake. And I just said to Geordie, I'm just going to run 3:04 pace the first lap. So regardless of what my heart rate says, I'm just going to run 3:04 pace. And that should suggest it'll be under threshold. And yeah, I felt really, really good. And I just sort of went with Geordie for the first lap. And then I looked at my heart rate at the end, and it was like, you know, 6 beats below, running like 3:04 pace for the first lap. And I was like, okay, time to pick it up. And I didn't. And then I just looked at my heart rate and just ran, and I finished with 3:02 average overall. So that means my whole second lap was 3-minute pace.
God, so, sweet. Oh, that's awesome. Good.
So that's, yeah, that's my second best threshold ever.
Under control as well.
But it's like, yeah, totally like in control. Like my last, I did 3:01 once, but that was when I was like hanging on Jack and Brett, and I was like, would have got to my threshold heart rate after 10 minutes and just sat right there, and it would have been perfect conditions. Whereas this was, yeah. So I'm really fit, and I had no pain in the knee at all.
Oh, great. You know, so did you hit the foam roller during this
time?
Yeah,
just like you smashed, said you did it. Like what you said. You said just smash the foam. I've been smashing it every day.
Yeah, great. You've actually got some motivation for it at the moment.
Yeah,
so exactly. Put that away. You said, they'll put that away for another 6 months until you get another flare-up.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly. Honestly. Well, it hasn't quite disappeared yet, so.
Oh, you're still, the motivation's still there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, I went to, Tom Thorpe and Geordie, they live out of home in Brighton, and it was Thorpey's birthday, so he had a few people around his house on Saturday night, and I drove there after work because I do my big 12-hour shift at the wine store, and then I had a few beers and I thought, well, I'll leave my car here and I'll run here tomorrow from my house because I have to run 2 hours. So I just went solo. The boys, Jack and Brett and Smack, went out Glen Iris way and did their own thing, but I thought, oh, I'll just do 2 hours by myself, bit of sort of mental training. I actually really, really enjoyed it. It was crazy. I thought in my head it was going to be less than 20 sort of 7K. Like I thought it'd be way less. So I didn't even bother computing and working it out, which is a bit dangerous because it could have been way further. Like I'm running from Hawthorne into the city and then out to Brighton. And I went the longest way possible. I ran 4:01 pace.
Whoa.
And I got there at 159. I got to my car at 159.57.
God,
is that just not? I just couldn't believe it. I was like,
"That's awesome."
That is just for me to not even, to not even plan it.
So,
did you
run an extra 3 seconds, or did you stop it?
No, I thought I'm gonna reward myself. No, I actually did run an extra 3 seconds. I'm a head case.
Paul would have had a go. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt really good. Like, 4-minute average. I sort of like that. Like I said to myself, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run any quicker than four minute pace. Because it's just there's no need, and I find that a lot easier. Like I can bring a long run down to like 4-minute average, but when you're running 3:50 average, it's sort of another level above, and I just don't want to do that.
And when you're doing.
No, I'm just Tuesday. You're like, oh, well, maybe you should be.
Nah, but still, I reckon it's. Yeah, when you're running 30Ks, though, it's...
Yeah, 30K at 4 minutes.
It's a big,
it's still a
decent Sunday, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Doesn't need to be any harder than that.
How was the party? I heard it was a massive sausage fest. That's what that's what Toby told me.
Yeah, I was there pretty late. Funnily enough, I can definitely say this on air. It's not that bad. What's his name? Barber had brought his tattoo gun. Barber's actually, he's really good at drawing and he's been doing tattoos. So it was quite fun. I walked in obviously at like 11 o'clock at night after my shift at work.